Welcome to BCC. This is where you belong. This is where you what?
Belong.
This is where you what?
Belong.
Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
thank you
for being present.
I'm
going to
be louder than you.
So I dare for you to challenge me. All right. Praise God. Good. Thank you so much. All righty. Today's message is a little bit, comes from maybe a different perspective and a little bit unexpected. Maybe perhaps I know many of you all would feel better if you kind of knew where we were going and what we were doing. And that gives you a little sense of control of knowing where we're going and can get a perspective of where we're headed. But if I can borrow your attention for just a moment, I think today has an opportunity to be prophetic, and that way it always is not necessarily what you're expecting. Somebody said amen. Amen. Praise God. So with that being said, we're in the midst of Jesus practice what he preached. Practice what he preached. We are here because we recognize in this particular domain and time is we want to learn how to practice what he preached. Because I am assured that if we practice what he preached, you will have the extremely abundant desires of the life you want. Somebody say amen. Amen. I am assured that if we put into what?
Practice.
What Jesus preached, then we are going to experience the type of abundance of life, even as like John 10:10 says, where we're going to even enjoy life and have it to the full or in abundance. That's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
Because these are not necessarily on the screen, but they are certainly fervent upon my heart. Maybe you can jot it down. It's a great statement. At least one statement right now, and that is this. One of the things I think I like to talk about a little bit is just that, how many understand that hunger, say hunger, you know, we've taught about hunger quite a bit in the past 4 to 5 years, but one of the things about hunger is that we can't necessarily make you be hungry. Mm-hmm. That was good preaching right there. We can't make you be hungry, right?
Yeah.
But this is one thing that we recognize about hunger. Hunger indicates need. Write that down. Hunger speaks of need. When you're hungry for something, how many know there's a need there? When you're hungry for someone to come and see you or rescue you, or you're in a very trying situation, you find yourself hungry for help because hunger speaks of need. Hunger speaks of what?
Need.
Write this down. But humility speaks of resource. That was powerful. Humility speaks of resource. It's when you recognize I don't have everything that I may need in order to get this need met. And it requires humility. And one of the things, unfortunately, that this is all free right here. One of the things that certainly brings about humility sometimes after we are trying and striving and tired out or stressed out or striving to the degree where we're strained and we're tense and even things around us feel a little bit of stress, are you with me? Is when we come to humiliation. Because humiliation will always lead you to humility. And when you find yourself then eventually in humility, then you will become a candidate and a recipient of the grace of God. So how many know I would rather bypass the humiliation and clothe myself in humility.
That's right.
So that I might inherit the grace of God.
Amen.
Because God resists the proud.
Amen.
But he gives grace to the humble. So we want to be found as a people that are hungry, who recognize a need. But then we want to be found in humility. Because humility, write this part down, is the posture of receiving. Humility is a posture and a position of receiving. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Jesus preached. You're going to have to catch this. It's worth your notes. Maybe you all go back and watched the video or something 3 or 4 times, I'm not sure. But, or some of y'all have photogenic memories, I guess, as well. But if you would, why don't you write these down? Jesus preached. Say, Jesus preached. Jesus preached in Mark 1:16. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." I will show you how to what? Fish for people. Other traditional translation says, "I will make you fishers of
men."
I'll make you fishers of men. And they left their nets at once and followed him. Is everybody with me? Jesus preached in Matthew 28:18. He says, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
How many know Jesus preached that just prior to his ascension? Is everybody with me? Here's something else that Jesus preached. Jesus preached in John 1:14, at least it's preached about him. And it says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt." Everybody say dwelt. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Everybody say dwelt. The word dwelt, for some of us that would like to remember this, is actually the word tabernacled. Tabernacled. The word dwelt means that Jesus, who is absolutely completely the Son of God, he became incarnated, or he became flesh. And he dwelt. He what?
Dwelt.
Which means what? Tabernacled. It means what?
Tabernacle.
And a tabernacle means house, or rather house of God. So Jesus, he came and became the house of God, or the tabernacle, as it were, or the temple, all the same words for house, which makes so much sense right in John chapter 1. It already explains all the rest of the revelation when he says that I will tear this house down in 3 days and build it back up again, because he was speaking about having dwelt in the house, he being the temple of God. Because Jesus dwelt among us. Jesus what? And that same word, tabernacled, is what, Carter, listen, is what we are supposed to be as the house of God. We are God's house. There's one scripture after another that teaches that we are the building of God. We are the house of God. Together we're the house of God, but we're also individually the temple of the Holy Spirit. We ourselves are a house all together. All together as believers, we are the house or the tabernacle of God. We are the what? We are the tabernacle of God. Now put this together with Genesis 28:16-17. We won't turn there. But if we understand that we are the tabernacle, and as Jacob in Genesis 28 has this powerful dream where he sees the ladder touching ground but to heaven, and he awakens and says, "Wow, surely the Lord is in this place, and I perceived it night." This is none other than the gates to heaven. This is none other than the gateway to heaven. This is none other than the what?
Gateway.
And he calls that place Bethel, which means house of God. Which is to say then, we are the gateway to heaven. Come on, somebody. We are, as the house of God, the gateway to heaven. In other words, when people come in among us, when we're gathered together corporately, we should be where God literally has the heavens opened, and whatever the resources are for heaven ought to be accessible and available for everyone that's with us. All of heaven is all of, you know, we even might be dealing with that in resurrection service. All of the earth, creation, groans for us to appear as sons and gods, as sons and daughters of God. All I'm saying is that do we recognize we are the tabernacle? Stop shortcoming yourself and saying you just this and you just that. You are the house of God. And if we are the house of God, then we are gateways to heaven. Think about Jacob. It's like one of my most favorite passages of Scripture. He awakens and says, oh, what is going on here? Right? He says, my God, this is truly, I didn't even know where I was, but this is none other than the house of God. And then Jesus comes, and he comes and moves into that same power and prophetic. Because I am now that tabernacle. I am the Bethel. Is everybody with me? Yeah. So good. Jesus preached, John chapter 10, verse 26. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Can you say that with me? For with God, all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left. He says, see, we have left all and followed you. We have left all and followed you. And I think this is a good place to insert this thought is, I have it written down, but, you know, where are the people that are hungry for God? Where are the people that aren't looking for God to do something more for them? They just want God. They want more of God. Not more of what God can give them, but they're hungry for God. Who are those people? Where are those people that are ready to leave all in order that they might pursue God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind? Where are those people that are just so deeply desperate to see the divine touch down on earth, where people began to be saved, where prisoners began to be freed, where addictions began to be broken, where people's lives go from darkness to light? Where are those people that there's visitation and encounters in prisons, or rather even in nations, and there's not even somebody humanly there, but because Jesus encounters them by his spirit, just like he did Saul when he was on his way to Damascus? I'm saying, are those people, who are those people where we're not just working on how to get married and how to get a 3-car garage and get a better job, and if I can get off early, I might be able to make my Netflix. I'm talking about, where are the people that genuinely have a something that genuinely calls out to them, where deep calls unto deep, where you're crying for Jesus and you don't mind spending a couple of extra minutes hungry for him? Or is it that we're just trying to get to a 6-figure rather than getting to him who's completely everything that you need? Who and where are those people? The Bible says, we have left all to follow you. We've abandoned our agenda. It's kind of like this. Where are the people that we're not looking for God to bless what I want? I'm ready, God, to bless what you want. Hallelujah. If you're waiting because you're waiting to arrive and then you're going to do it, that arrival point will keep getting pushed out. God have mercy. Look what Mark says, or in the book of Mark. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Somebody ought to shout amen.
Amen.
Look what happens. This is what Jesus preached. This is what Jesus what?
Preached.
Can I get you to turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 9? Matthew chapter 9. We're going to start at verse 37. We've tried to minimize how many passages you have to turn to. But we do want you to read out of your Bible while we are together. I'm going to read from the New King James Version, just those last two verses, verses 37 and 38. Here it says in chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, then he said, Boo, can you go get that for me? Thank you. It says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Everybody see that? Can I get you to skip over to chapter 10? And we missed a verse. I want to read verse 1 and then we'll read 6 through 9. Look at verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness. Look who stopped by today. Amen. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Jump down to verse 6, if you will. Starting at verse 6, it says, but go. But what?
Go.
But what?
Go.
But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in that, I just want you to think about this. Jesus says, go to the lost. Do y'all see that?
Yeah.
Jesus says, go to the what?
The lost.
Do you see anything about inviting them? Says, go to the lost, and as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And all of God's people with an enthusiasm said, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So Jesus preached. What did he do? What did Jesus do? He what? And we're here to practice what he what?
Preach.
So what I want you to do right now is I'm going to ask of you, could you, just those around you, just two or three of those around you, can I get you to ask those around you, what is the theme? What is like the theme that's the thread through those passages of scripture? I want you to just talk about it a little bit. I hope you read them. I hope you were reading along and followed me as I read them as articulately as I could. But I want to ask of you, can you discuss that with the people that's around you for just a moment? Go ahead. I'm going to give you about 3 minutes, if you don't mind. Find some people and just discuss. What's the theme that is the common thread through those passages of scripture? Thank you.
With mustard seed, like 3 days ago, with mustard color, which is a really weird color. And then
really continue to encourage everyone to step out of their comfort zone. To step out of their what? Every single one of us, including myself, is uncomfortable with wanting to do something that might take a risk or be obedient to God. But it's in that obedience that you find full reward, because it's God who's pleased and not man.
That's right.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, man of God. So, with that being said, I want to get to these excellence working great. Thank you. So, what is the thread through theme of what Jesus preached in these passages? Discuss with your neighbors around you. What did you all have?
Disciple.
Disciple, that's good. What did you all have, Cameron?
Leaving where we are and going to where he is.
Woo! Leaving where we are and going to where he is. Everybody hear that? Mm-hmm. Isn't that good? Brother Kevin, Sister Kathy? MLT. Did you just hear that? Now, I didn't use it in the title, but did you just hear that? To be a hunter. To be a what?
Hunter.
To be a hunter. What'd you get, Brother Denny?
That there's a lot of power available.
There's a lot of power available to us. There's a lot of what?
Power.
Power available to us. Hey, Uncle. So, here we go. I want you to look at these passages of Scripture, and you can write these notes down. Number one, it was to be fishers of people. To be what? In number two, it was to make what?
Disciples.
To make disciples. Number three is God's house is the gate to heaven. God's house, tabernacle, is the gate to heaven. Just as Jesus, when he was incarnate, walking on the face of the earth, he was the gate to heaven. We saw all kinds of kingdom of heaven things released in the earth through him. Amen? But when he completed the cross, the burial, the resurrection, and all of the purchasing redemption for our lives from that which was evil, or that which was the wages of sin, that was death, he then fulfilled and completed all of those things, remained on the earth, and then ascended to heaven and took his rightful royal place at the right hand of the Father. But now the word says that as he is, so are we in this world. Therefore, we now fulfill and complete that which he began. Therefore, number three says God's house is the gate of
heaven.
Number four, we were created for the impossible. We were created for the impossible. Number five, laborers. Laborers. In chapter 9 of Matthew, it says, pray ye, or pray to the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth what?
Laborers.
Into the harvest. Because the harvest is plentiful, but the what?
Laborers
are the laborers are what?
Laborers.
The laborers are what? And I have every reason to believe that we oftentimes are looking for someone else to do it. Amen. We are those laborers. We are those what?
Laborers.
And number six is we are to be what? Goers. We are to be what?
Goers.
These are all from those passages of Scripture. So we could say, just to make sure we're succinct here, is that Jesus preached these things. Is everybody with me? Okay. Some years ago, we preached an entire series based out of this concept. And the concept was what we call authenticating assessments. Say that with me. Authenticating assessments. And when we talk about authenticating assessments, it was like these five things. If you just narrowed everything down to what genuinely reveals or indicates you as an authentic believer, or an authentic Christian, or an authentic Christ person, it was these five things that God desires for us to be about. And it is these five right here. I mean, and they're even what I would even consider to be like even in order, is that we are all about love. We're all about what?
Love.
And then Jesus came that we may have life, or to what? Live. And How do we live? For the just shall live by their
faith.
And we, just terminologies here, I don't like to dilute what we are as believers. So therefore, sometimes somewhere in places in the around the world, Pastor Jeremy talks about that in missions and stuff, is that sometimes, not that I'm denying what we are, but I don't even like to maybe necessarily use the word Christian because that could be overgeneralized to some that may not look like Christ. So what we're saying is, what can we share that we are in the earth? And I say it's this, followers. We are what?
Followers.
We are followers of Christ. And how many know that's like follow the leader type of following, meaning there never stops. When you see the word follow, like in the New Testament Greek, it's the type of grammar that indicates it's an ongoing thing. In other words, you never stop following. So therefore, we never stop what? We never stop what? And the last one is reproduce. Say reproduce.
Reproduce.
To reproduce could be, in essence, right alongside of the things we just shared and those other ones, is that we are supposed, this is part of being a believer, this is part of being a follower, is that we reproduce. We reproduce because remember what Jesus says in Matthew 10? Whatever you have received freely, then also freely what?
Yes.
And for all of us that have received the renouncing, the remission, or the absolute forgiveness of sins, we want to make sure everybody that we see, touch, or hear is forgiven for sins. I don't know about you, but it's, because I think a lot of y'all was really nice. I wasn't. Are you with me? Amen. I was a dirty dog, absolutely lying, cursing, wrong about it. You tell me, you look at me, touch me, and you might get dirty. Are you with me? What I'm saying is that when I came unto the saving knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ, I became absolutely, completely radical about Jesus, because if Jesus could save me, do you hear what Paul said? For I was the worst of sinners. That's what Paul thought of himself. He says, I was the worst of sin. You don't hear no funny faith doctrine about that. He says it right as he's writing in the epistle to Timothy in chapter 1 and 2. So he says, I was the worst of sinner, but God had mercy on me. I don't know about you, but God had mercy on me. Therefore, that's why I want to be merciful. Hallelujah. I want to cry with those that cry. Heal with those that are healed. If you have to have a surgery, as you heard my testimony about carpal tunnel, I'd love to see that go away without a surgery. I would love for them not to go into your body and cut surgically something out and you could be healed. I would love for you to stop waking up every morning with a headache. Insomnia, waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning and walking around and staying up until 3 and 4 and then having to drink caffeine and monsters in the morning when you wake up. I would love for you to just genuinely live a life that Jesus has afforded us through redemption. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. So today we want to talk about raising, searching, and training unicorns. Raising, searching, and training what?
Hey,
this is my friend.
Hey, girl.
How many understand that unicorns got a bad rap? Are you with me? Unicorns got a bad rap, I'm telling you. And I was one of them. Some of you all may know me to be this way, but I want to share you a little story, and that simply is this. I'm very kind of a stickler, you might say, about the Word of God. Right? Even Pastor just shaking her head. She got that right, right? I'm a stickler about the Word of God. Like, what I mean by that is, I'm not saying I'm super intelligent and all that. I'm just saying, if it's not in the Word of God, then I'm typically really kind of almost dogmatic against it. Are you with me? I don't mean to be that way, but if it's not in the Word, it is found no value to me. I'm preaching louder than you shouting.
Amen.
So therefore, Pastor, why do you have this unicorn up there? because I want to make sure this is clear, because I'm sure I'll get emails and texts about it. This kind of unicorn is mythical. Is everybody with me? It does not exist. It does not what? So we're not talking about mythical, but biblical unicorns could be you and me. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
All I'm trying to say is I'm putting this before you so I can get that imagery in front of you. But I'm not talking about this because this is what I'm talking about. I got you. Jacob, did I get you? Amen. I'm tell me your name again, ma'am. Tammy, yeah, I got you. Look, not mythical, but biblical. You see, this is a type of biblical unicorn. And what happened to me several years ago was this. I was marching around about this whole concept when you saw the increase of everything in the stores for children. Maybe when my children were growing up, I don't know. Everything became unicorn. Are you with me? And see, I'm the type, like I just told you, right? You know, Anna would never do that because she loves me way too much. But you know what? If this lovely couple here gave us a unicorn for our daughter, you understand? I would say, oh, that's so sweet of you. Thank you so much. That's such a blessing. Yes. Honey, they thought of you. And they thought so much to you to give you a gift. But how many understand? I'm not taking the unicorn home. So please, you say, Pastor, I'm not going to give you anything. No, just make sure it's in the Bible. That's all I'm asking. Guess what? Food is in the Bible. Amen. Everybody say unicorn.
Unicorn.
I told you this story already. And then I began to see this scripture because I used to read majority out of the King James Version. Out of the King James Version, look what it says here. Will the unicorn, will the what?
Unicorn.
And I thought to myself, what is the Bible talking about? I did. I was like, what? Oh, my God. What is that doing in the Bible? When I began to research it, I began to find out that it was speaking about a particular animal. And in the unicorn, translated in the King James Version, is the Old Testament of an ox. Of a what?
Ox.
Say it out loud, say an ox.
Ox.
Say it out loud, say what?
Ox.
Ox. So when we find in the scriptures about 8 times, the Bible describes this particular animal as an ox, indicating that that horn, even, you know, actually there's an animal that is potentially extinct now, and it even did have, like a rhinoceros, have a particular horn that proceeded out of his head, and it only had one. Nevertheless, which one is talking about? I want to talk about the unicorn today that is an ox. That is a what?
Ox.
That is an ox. Here's what I want you to get down and write these things down, because this ox or this unicorn could be you. I do want to use this one symbol about this particular type of unicorn, because the word unicorn has now also come to mean something that some things that are not good at all, which I'm saddened to see that. But there are some symbolisms of this kind of unicorn that I do want to use because it's now become common language, and that is called rare. When we talk about a unicorn, we talk about something that is what?
Rare
and hard to find. Rare and hard to find. When you talk about a unicorn, you're talking about something that is dynamically unique, something that's a one of a kind, that's even hard to find. And what we want to begin to do is raise, to discover, to look for, and to bring out the divine abilities and enablement in each of us, because God made us to be rare and a hard to find. Glory to Jesus. We want to talk about it because even as it relates to a particular unicorn, it even means to be redemptive. It means to be what?
Redemptive.
A unicorn means to be redemptive, or there's a type of redemption and lots of things that's related to purity and all kinds of things about that. But most importantly, when we talk about an ox, we talk about his strength. We talk about his what? We talk about the strength of an ox. And when we talk about a unicorn, we talk about the harvest. We talk about the harvest because an ox is one that is in a type of, you know, some countries and even in our own country years ago and years of history, that ox would be literally a tractor and would till the ground against the dirt, against the hard, unplowed ground. But because of the strength of the ox, it was able to till out the field so that they could put seed in it so that they might grow a harvest. Because an ox has the type of power and strength to go through whatever is hard. Hallelujah. When we talk about an ox, we're talking about things that increase. Things that what?
Increase.
When you talk about an ox, you're talking about the type of character. You're talking about the type of ability, the enablement for increase. For what? Increase. I'm beginning to try to pull on your heart a little bit. How many people in their life right now would need an increase of some sort? Come on. An increase of I know two things for sure. One of them are here, one of our students here, college students. They said, I have a lot of stuff to study. I've got a lot of things to do, and I've got my own little work study job or whatever, and I've got to get that accomplished as well, and I don't know how I'm going to do it. And then a lot of times they say that at BRICS and things of that nature. You might be that way with your children and all of those things that you have on your schedule or whatever you're going through right now. All of us are in a time constraint. All of us is in an energy constraint. All of us seem to be experiencing where there might be fatigue or whatever type. All of us need some increase. I mean, when I said increase, all of us just shot our hands up. If I could jump higher, if I could run faster, I'll be on a track team, get a scholarship. If I could play a certain way, a scholarship at OSU, my God, we have need of increase in our lives. We have need of increase in our lives. Increase of patience. I got you again. You know you have need of patience in this place. Somebody say amen. Not only that, but endures. The ox knows how to what? As well as knows how to be anointed. The ox is anointed. The ox is what? The ox is what? Turn to your neighbor and say, the ox is anointed. The ox is anointed. Just want to throw this out here, why I'm saying this is so prophetic and timely. Say timely.
Timely.
I think that's maybe the next, I don't know if that's the next slide. Can I get you to hear this real quickly? You can't plan this, you can't make this stuff up. In the Hebrew calendar right now is 5780 during the year 2020. So in other words, this is the first time, and in this particular decade, the Hebrew calendar matches the Gregorian calendar, which we live by. So while it's 2020 in the Hebrew calendar, it's also 5780. But now that it's turned to 21, the Hebrew calendar is 5781. Is everybody with me? But the picture, the vision of the number one, the picture of the number what? Is the symbol of an ox. All I'm trying to say is that in this divine moment, could not have been planned, could not have been, prepared. I shared with the ministry leadership team back in February that we were preparing a message called Raising Up or Finding or Hunting Unicorns. All I'm saying is that what is a unicorn? It has these particular characteristics, and that needs to come forth out of us. And I'm praying that God would give you a blessing right now in this year, even as the symbol of an ox, that you would be strengthened, that you would be anointed, that you would have increase in your life. And that is just like the people of God to do that which is impossible. For while the world is fainting in the pandemic, God's people become flaming in the pandemic. For the sake of time, I'm just going to do this. Unicorn equals what? Write these numbers down. Revelations chapter 4, verse 7. This is where you find in heaven, as John is writing down this vision that he is recording, he sees here in chapter 4 where there is the living creature. In King James, maybe New King James, the word is beast, but that's improperly, maybe even ESV, but that's an improper translation. It should really be a living creature. And it says that the living creature has four faces or four sides. And in the four sides, you have what is called the lion, the ox. The what? One of the revelations of the Messiah is the face of an ox. The ox, then the human, and last is the, say it for me, ox, human, lion, and the eagle. Thank you. And the eagle is number 4. So therefore, when we talk about it, all I'm saying is that this is not just an Old Testament revelation, but the representation of Jesus being one of those faces, one of those redemptive faces, is the ox. How many know we all want to fly like eagles? How many know we all want to be associated and live and remain as being the value of a human? Are you with me? We even want to lovingly, you know, all of us want to be like Aslan, you know what I'm saying? And we all want to be the lion. But you don't hear us getting in line and shouting over, who wants to be an ox? But Jesus, in order to gain our redemption, he took on the nature and the character also of an ox, because he is the one who treaded out the field and went through that which was hard, which was dust and dirt, in order that he might minister and serve us in a redemptive way, so that we would be called sons and daughters of God, so that we would be free from sin. We would no longer be bound by shackles and chains. We don't even have guilt or shame anymore. We now live in the freedom and the cleanness and the clearness of the light of the gospel over an open heaven. We are even considered to be not only children of God, but we are co-laborers with God. We are joint heirs. We have inherited all of the kingdom of God is ours now. Doesn't matter what side of the track you started on, you are on track now. Jesus Christ did all of that in the simile of being the ox, of being the what? In Numbers chapter 23, as well as in Numbers chapter 24, we reveal there that it says this in chapter 23, that the children of Israel came up out of Egypt by the strength of an ox. By the strength. By the what? By the strength of an ox. In other words, for them to be able to let go of them in slavery and bondage for 400 and some odd years, they had to come with something that was so strong and so powerful that they was no longer even going to see their enemy again. Because how many know it would have been worse for them to be free but always be afraid of the one who bound them? You need to understand that when they came out like an ox. God says he delivered his people from Egypt, from bondage, from centuries of bondage, and they were released by the strength of an ox. By the strength of an ox. And if all of Egypt, if all of the children of Israel can be released, I am guaranteed if you get the anointing of the ox, you will be set free from whatever situation you're bound in right now as well. Amen. Glory to God. Things that are bound in your mind, God can free you. Things that you got locked up and lodged up in your heart, God by strength can just deliver you. I heard it was said this way. We're all to be about the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be about the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be about the what?
Kingdom of God.
But if you are bound by a demon or a devil or some spirit that has a clamp on you, when we're about the kingdom, that needs to be delivered first. Somebody say amen. And I want you to go, Proverbs 14 and verse 4. Write this down. This is the passage of scripture that talks about the ox. Talks about the what? Get this. I love this passage. Where the ox is not in the barn, there is increase. but when the ox is in the barn, the crib is always neat and nice. Here's what I'm saying. Is the message of increase, the message of what?
Increase.
Has to be one that might get messy. How many know when there's going to be increase in your life, there's going to be messiness, because the ox is going to make a mess. The ox is going to get dirty. The ox is going to be laboring. The ox is going to be bringing all that mud in, and the crib is going to be messy, because increase means there's something coming that's good. You need to stop being worried and upset and busted and disgusted over the things that you want, you know, changed in your life, and all you're looking for is just peace and no conflict. God could be doing something in your life right now that is increasing you, building increase, because wherever there might be a little messiness, God is might be in the midst of getting ready to harvest something in your life. Glory to God. Man, I'm tired of working two jobs. That's okay. There's going to come a day where you only have one job. It won't even be 40 hours. You know what I'm saying? It might be 38 and a half. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying to you, it's all right that you are going after it right now like an ox, because where the ox is in action, there is increase. There is what?
Increase.
Are you starting to want to be a unicorn yet? Yes, Lord. Ready to go, Carter. Amen. That fro was going on now, and I like that. Amen. We're almost done. If you'd like to get Peter, you can. Fresh oil anointing. For strength and increase. Fresh oil anointing for strength and increase. Psalms 92 verse 10 says this. By my horn. Write that down. Circle that in your notes or do something. Horn. Because the word horn in the Bible, all throughout the Bible, by itself. Don't even attach it to something. Just the horn. Means strength. Whenever you talk about a horn, so right here it says, but my strength, God, you have exalted like a wild ox. You have made my strength. You have made my horn, my strength, exalted like a wild ox. Like a what? Wild ox. Notice what it says next. I have been anointed with fresh oil. I have been anointed with fresh oil. I am here today because I believe there are some people that may feel like their oil has become a little stale. We are right now, not that I want to keep talking about it, but we are in the month of it being one entire year where our world and our lives were turned all the way around. Things slowed down. We haven't seen or been with certain people. Some people didn't ever come out the house. There are some people hasn't seen grandparents, even their own parents. There is all kinds of things that are weary and things that are turning around with our economy and with our jobs. And some people have eviction notices, and some people don't even know it, but it's just fatigue, and you're a little bit more irritable than you used to be. Now you don't even talk to your brother because he wears a mask and you don't wear a mask and he does. You're scared to say anything publicly because there might be a black there or a white there that might you offend. You certainly dare not say anything good about who's in office or who left in office. We've just got so many things that we're just closing up about and share, you know, just closing down and closing up, and even our own spirits are feeling it. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. Like a what? I have been anointed. I have been what?
Anointed.
With what kind of oil? When God says, I anoint you with fresh oil, I'm bringing your fervor back. I'm bringing your strength back. I am the symbol. The oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And I am making sure you have a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit all over your life, and that it would run into your life, that you may be saturated with the oil of God's Spirit. Everybody turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. It's a very familiar passage of scripture, but I'm going to read it from a different context today. Verse 28 says, "Come to me, all you who labor," all you who what?
Labor.
"And are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my what?
Yoke.
Take my what?
Yoke.
Upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke," my what?
Yoke.
"My what?
Yoke.
Is easy, and my burden is what? Light." It's very interesting that we don't preach it from this context. Not everybody does, but it's so appropriate for today because of the ox. An ox is called an animal of burden. An animal of what?
Burden.
But do you notice that a yoke is never wrapped around a sheep? Come on. And so many of us, and so often, we just, bad, you know, Jesus, I want to remain as a sheep, and God is calling us to be ox. So there can be increase in the kingdom, because the ox is about harvest. For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, and laborers are that which would symbolize an ox. You see, when you get ready to get yoked, Jesus says, listen, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you." Because when we get yoked in with Jesus, we don't carry a heavy yoke. We don't carry a heavy burden. Jesus says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." A pastor from one of the Latin American countries called Estrada preached a powerful message once, and it was called, "Jesus wants us to have a light burden." A light burden. What's a light burden? A light burden is, I hurt when I see another man hurt. I hurt when I see a couple hurt. I hurt when I see a man that's addicted to some kind of sexual sin. I hurt. I'm not in a sexual sin, but I have a light burden. Now, I don't carry it with me, and I don't get anguish because I'm yoked with Jesus. But that light burden is also my call. So that I might walk out like an ox to someone that's dealing with something so that they could be freed. I hurt when you live more wrapped up in tension and anger and bitterness and sharp-mouthed and don't like people or the world. I want to come over and I get concerned about that because I know that you, I know you say it's not bothering you, but you're locked up. That's a light burden. And when you're yoked with Jesus, you just let Jesus carry the heavy load and you carry the light load. And you are able to see people freed because you're yoked with Jesus. Stand to your feet. Every head bowed. I have an altar call today just to bide the elevation of your hand in a prayer. It's comprised of three different things. If you're here today and you recognize this fresh oil or the anointing of fresh oil for strength and increase, the anointing of fresh oil for strength and increase. You could be here, and number one, you are dealing with heaviness. Sister Ida said to me at Everyone Prays The people that were there were carrying heaviness. If you're in this room right now and you are carrying heaviness, there's an anointing of fresh oil for you. If you are overwhelmed with classwork, homework, meaning house things, if you're overwhelmed with finances, a lack thereof, or semesters to come, or loneliness, or you don't think you're in the right place, if you're overwhelmed, there's a fresh oil anointing. If you just feel like I got a lot to do, that's you. Number two, you are called to complete. You know that you are called to complete something for Christ. You may not know what it is, or maybe you're afraid of it. Maybe you're scared because you don't think that you have everything that you have need of. You didn't study it. You didn't go to school for it. But you have something that you know you're supposed to complete for Christ. You are that person when I start preaching and speaking about someone that's hungry for the need, but you're ready for humility to have the resource flow through you. Number three, Pastor Turan, I just need to believe Jesus. Maybe I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, or maybe it's time for me to step towards the water baptism. I just need to confess with my mouth, I need a lifestyle change. If that's any of you, bless you, Bishop. If that's any of you, any of those three, can I get you just to raise up your hand? In Jesus' name, thank you so much, woman of God. Thank you so much, man of God, woman of God. Father, we are asking you, by the confession of the elevation or the surrenderance and submission of the elevation of our hands, God, we lift up our hearts to you. God, I feel like that was for me today, and I'm in need. I know there's something more that I'm supposed to be fulfilling, God, but I don't know how to get there. And I don't even know if I want to be there. It's kind of like a roller coaster. God, I need you. I'm asking right now, Father, that you just pour out fresh oil and anointing over us all. Every hand that's elevated, every heart that's elevated, God, everyone's eyes that are fixed upon Jesus, who in the four faces of the messianic fulfillment, yes, Jesus, you fully are the Lion of Judah. Totally, completely are the ox that treaded out for the harvest to be plentiful for us. Yes, God, you truly have lived out being 100% human, showing us how to live a God life on earth. And yes, God, you teach us how to soar on wings of an eagle. I'm asking you, God, that now in this place, you would increase our strength and our endurance to finish the course, and that would come because of your fresh oil. Father, where there are hurts, I'm asking that they would be found in forgiveness and that pain would begin to subside. I'm talking about broken hearts would begin to mend. Amen. Even the youngest of child to the oldest of persons move in their hearts right now like childlike faith. And it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.